And when we hit 10 o'clock, sir, you can go ahead and start. And hopefully everyone had a good Veterans Day and a happy early Thanksgiving.
Why does it keep saying the dean is waiting in the lobby?
It's because I've hit emit and he is coming from the hotel and it looks like the signal is not strong, so I keep accepting him and it keeps scrolling emitting. Everyone else is coming through, but his isn't. Again, he is in Perth today, in Australia, so he was trying to do it from the hotel and he wasn't sure it was going to work or not, so, but we will have a quorum without him. Dr. Brown, it is 10 o'clock according to my clock, if you want to go ahead and start.
Most definitely. And a pleasant good morning to everyone. It's good Tuesday morning. And I call to order this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Tuesday. For Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. I would like to remind each member of the committee to make sure to mute his or her phone or microphone on the Microsoft Teams when we are not talking, and to announce our names at the beginning of each time that we speak. Additionally, I remind the public that this is a listening-only hearing and to mute your phones and your microphones if indeed, for whatever reason, you're able to use them. Before we begin, I want to introduce members of the committee. Members, please respond present when I call your name. Representing the general public, Arthur Bernstein.
Arthur Bernstein is present.
Recommended by the Speaker of the House, Dr. Harcourt Fuller.
Harcourt Fuller is present.
Specifically qualified in American history, Dr. Dean Kolomsky. We will move forward. He may be just joining us. Recommended by the House Minority Leader, Mary Lannan.
Mary Lannan is here.
Recommended by the Senate Majority Leader. Mike will not be with us. Moving forward, specifically qualified in medallic arts or sculpture, Robin Salmon.
Robin Salmon is present.
Recommended by the Senate Minority Leader, Donald Scarinci. We'll catch up with this later. Moving forward, specifically qualified in numismatics, Dennis Tucker.
Present.
Specifically qualified as a numismatist curator, Dr. Peter Van Alten.
Peter Van Alten, present.
And I am Dr. Lawrence Brown, representing the general public and chair of the CCAC. By my count, I believe we have a quorum. Today, the agenda for today's public meeting includes the following: acceptance of the letters to the secretary and approval of the minutes for our September 27th, 2022 meeting, review and approval of the 2022 annual report, and lastly, but not leastly, review and discussion of the candidate designs for the Ghost Army Congressional Gold Medal. Before we begin our proceedings, I ask the Mint Liaison to the CCAC, Ms. Jennifer Warren, if we are aware of any members of the press who have remotely signed in for this public meeting.
Good morning, sir. This is Jennifer Warren. And also, just to let you know, Dean is having technical difficulties, so he will not be able to attend. And I believe Donald is running slightly late, just so you're aware of the members' attendance. Joining us today is Brandon Hall, Whitman Publishing, Paul Gilks, Amos Media, Coin World, and Mike Unser, Coin News Media Group.
Thank you so much. For the record, I'd like to confirm that the following Mint staff are attending the meeting today. Please indicate present after I have called your name. April Stafford, Chief Office of Design Management. Megan Sullivan, Senior Design Specialist.
Present.
Roger Vasquez, Senior Design Manager. Present. Sam Bohr, design manager.
Present.
Russell Evans, design manager.
Present.
Vanessa Hanchuk, design manager.
Present.
Michael Costello, manager of design and engraving.
Present.
Jennifer Warren, director of legislative and intergovernmental affairs and liaison to the CCAC.
Jennifer Warren is present.
Greg Wyman, senior legal counsel and counsel to the CCAC.
Dr. Brown, present.
Robin Terry, legal counsel to the Ghost Army Congressional Gold Medal.
Present.
Brandon Tate, senior government affairs specialist and Office of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs.
Present.
And finally, we are pleased that the following liaisons will be on the call today for the Ghost Army Congressional Medal. That includes Rick Baraya, president of the Ghost Army Legacy Project.
Present. Rick Baraya is present.
Roy Eichhorn, board member of the Ghost Army Legacy Project.
Roy Eichhorn, present.
And Stephanie Leach, daughter of a member of the Ghost Army.
Stephanie Leach, present.
Dr. Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize. This is April Stafford. I said present, but I had my microphone off, so I apologize.
No apology necessary. Thank you so much. I'd like to begin with the Met to ask, are there any other issues that need to be addressed before we start? Hearing none, then I assume that we may proceed without any concern on those matters. The first order of business for this committee.
Dr. Brown, this is April, and I absolutely defer to you, sir. Given that we do have all of the liaisons for the program, it's totally up to you. I don't know if you would want to perhaps start with that program, so then the committee could concentrate on its administrative matters without concern about timing or anything like that. Our representatives are also prepared to sit through the review of the interim report if that's preferable.
I think that's a wonderful suggestion, April, and I thank you so much for making it.
Not a problem. I apologize actually for not bringing it up earlier. We're just thrilled to be able to bring you this portfolio at this meeting.
And I prefer that order, in fact, to be revised as you suggested, because for a number of reasons. Number one, that we just got through celebrating Veterans Day. And number two, many of the members of the committee know, our liaison to let you know, I'm a proud Vietnam veteran and I served in the Army. So to speak about something pertaining to the Army, that branch that I believe, and you know, you don't have to swear to this. You don't have to, in fact, talk about those people in the Marines or the Navy, but I swear to them, I think this is the best branch. So I'm loving the idea that we will change the order of the meeting to, in fact, deal with the item on the agenda dealing with the Ghost Army Congressional Gold Medal. And for that, unless there's any concern by anyone, by Jennifer or Greg, then I'm going to suggest that we proceed in that direction and thus begin with you, April, if you can give the report, introduce the stakeholders as appropriate, so that you can give us this program.
Absolutely, if there are no issues, I'll go ahead and provide an introduction for this program. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. It is Public Law 117-85 that awards a Congressional Gold Medal to the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd Signal Service Company, collectively known as the Ghost Army, in recognition of their unique and highly distinguished service in conducting deception operations during World War II. The Ghost Army were U.S. Army tactical units that deceived the German army on the battlefields of Europe, saving thousands of lives and making a significant contribution to Allied victory. The Ghost Army was unique in the variety of media employed and its ability to portray the size and movement of the actual units. They utilized four types of deception. First, visual deception. An example here is the 603rd camouflage engineers deployed an array of inflatable rubber tanks, trucks, artillery, and other vehicles, as well as pyrotechnic displays to create convincing deceptive tableaus for enemy observers. The 406th combat engineers assisted by using bulldozers to create phony tank tracks. They also handled the 23rd security. Also, they used sonic deception. So here, the 3132nd Signal Service Company, which is a sister unit to the 3133rd, played sound effects from powerful speakers to simulate the sounds of units moving and operating at night. They also employed radio deception. The Signal Company Special created phony traffic networks and sent fake messages to fool enemy intelligence officers listening in. They mastered the art of mimicking a real operator's method of sending Morse code so that the enemy would never catch on that the real unit and its radio operator were long gone. Also, they employed special effects. Soldiers carried out theatrics for the benefit of enemy spies left behind by the retreating Germans. They wore fake shoulder patches, rode in vehicles with fake bumper markings, pretended to quote-unquote talk loose at cafes, and even impersonated generals to make their deceptions more convincing. Today, our U.S. Army Special Operations studies and takes inspiration from the wartime activities of these two units. In developing the designs, the United States Mint, led by Megan Sullivan, our design manager, worked with three liaisons: Rick Beyer, as you mentioned, president of the Ghost Army Legacy Project, Roy Eichhorn, Ghost Army Legacy Project board member and a stepson of a Ghost Army soldier, and Stephanie Leach, daughter of a Ghost Army soldier. So thank you so much for being with us today, Mr. Beyer. Do you have any comments you'd like to share with the committee?
Oh, absolutely. This is Rick Beyer. Try to stop me. First of all, I want to thank the Mint and thank April for that terrific summary of the Ghost Army. And I want to compliment all of the artists who submitted designs to the portfolio. I think all three of the liaisons were deeply impressed with the kind of the artistry and creativity, and there were some surprises, and so it was fabulous to look at that stuff. And we are all very excited, of course, that this recognition is finally happening, you know, almost 80 years after the war and after a seven-year lobbying effort. Very briefly, I want to say that we kept three major considerations in mind as we were looking at the medals and in making a recommendation about the which ones we liked. And one was we wanted to reflect all four kinds of deception that April mentioned. A lot of people think this is just about inflatable tanks, but it's not. It's about all these different kinds of deception: visual, sonic, radio, and special effects. And that's what the in the one of the recommended designs that we like, it's he's sewing a patch onto his shirt, and so that's kind of what's going on there in special effects. Two, we wanted the medal to contain the insignia. These are unofficial insignia, but nevertheless very recognizable insignia for each of the units, the 23rd and the 3133rd. And three, we wanted to name all the countries or the campaigns, the U.S. Army campaigns, that these units were involved in. Because again, sometimes people think, oh, this is something that happened, this is D-Day, or this is just Normandy. No, this is something that happens all over Northern Europe and even in Italy. So after we reviewed ourselves and reviewed with some other stakeholders, April, I can say what we recommended here, right?
Yes,
but
please, I will highlight them as we go through, but please, yes.
Yeah, so we recommended, we unanimously settled on obverse 3 and reverse 5, if I've got that correct. Roy, correct me if I got it wrong. And the only things that are missing as we see it now from the medal at this point, if we select those two, are the words Act of Congress 2022, which the Mint has assured us can easily be put on that obverse side. I'm happy to answer questions further as we go along, and after Roy Eichhorn and Stephanie Leach, the other two liaisons, get their say. The only other point I really want to mention is that there are only 10 soldiers left out of perhaps 1,300 who served in this unit, so we feel the urgency of moving forward and trying to make this happen so that we can honor these soldiers while some of them are still here. And with that, I'll close my remarks.
Thank you so much. Did you say that Mr. Eichhorn or Ms. Leach wanted to say a few words? You're welcome to pass to them or
yes.
Not? Okay.
So I will pass to Roy Eichhorn and ask him to speak. And Roy is in addition to all the things you said, also a 30-year employee of the U.S. Army as well. So, you know, Dr. Brown, keep that in mind as you listen to his remarks.
Good morning. This is Roy Eichhorn. Dr. Brown, thank you. I kind of dovetailed probably on the end of your time. I spent over 30 years with the Department of the Army in various roles. And as I said, my dad was one of the veterans, and he was an illustrator. His entire career was as an artist and an illustrator, and that's what kept us fed through the years. A couple of things to add. First of all, these were citizen soldiers for the most part. The Army could not create the numbers of technical experts and artists that they needed in the time that they had. So they reached down to get these folks. And as some of them have told us, you know, had it not been for the war, they would never have been anywhere near the Army. They were, as a group, great soldiers. And one of the amazing things is they were told to keep quiet about this for 51 years. And so the declassification, this was top secret, didn't start until 1996. And in my case, for example, my dad, even though I had a security clearance, he wouldn't tell me anything about what he did. He told me some soldierly kinds of things, but nothing about operations. I talked to the son of an officer last week, son of one of the veterans who was an officer, also had a security clearance. His father told him nothing about any of it until it was declassified. So part of what this is about, as much as anything else, is nobody knew about these folks after the war. Even within the Army lost track of it. So part of what we've been doing is trying to educate people, even within the Army, and bring the Ghost Army and its accomplishments up to the present. I think that's probably it for the moment for me. Subject to your questions, I'm going to hand this off to Stephanie.
Well, thank you, Roy. This is Stephanie Leach. Again, my name's Stephanie Leach. I'm the daughter of Walter Leach, who told me nothing either. He served as a technician in fifth grade in the 3133rd Signal Service Company, which operated in Italy. As was already noted, the sonic technicians reproduced the sounds of the United States Army at work, and in doing so, drew the attention of the Axis guns, allowing flexibility of motion to the unit they were replicating. Yes, the Ghost Army and the 3133rd were sitting ducks with targets on their backs. My pride in my father's service and his bravery is overwhelming. I wish to express my heartfelt thanks to each and every artist for their gorgeous designs. They were all awesome and made choosing our final recommendation a formidable task. Also thanks to Megan Sullivan and the Mint for her guidance through the process. Without her help, we would have been traveling blind. Thank you all for your consideration.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Brown, are you okay if we go ahead and share our screen so that we can or start moving through the candidate designs?
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you, Megan. All right. We're going to start with the obverse candidate designs. First, we have obverse one. This design depicts a group of soldiers assembling an inflatable tank and features the emblems of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd Signal Service Company. Obverse 2 depicts the emblems of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd Signal Service Company above the image of a Sherman tank. Inside the central circle, the Ghost Army's trickery gives the appearance of a real tank, while outside the circle, the visual deception is revealed and the tank is an inflatable decoy carried by four soldiers. Obverse 3, as our liaison noted, this is the preferred obverse of all of our liaisons with whom we worked. Obverse 3 depicts the four main methods of subterfuge practiced by the Ghost Army. A telegrapher is shown keying a message in Morse code together with a soldier sewing a phony unity patch onto his uniform. In the background, a soldier stands alongside a half track with a loudspeaker attached to it, and behind a group of soldiers carry an inflatable tank. The inscriptions are the Ghost Army and World War II. Obverses 4 and 4A depict Ghost Army soldiers setting up inflatable tanks as German planes fly overhead. So we have Obverse 4 and 4A. Moving on, Obverse 5 features the emblems of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd Signal Service Company. Obverse 6 depicts the emblem of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops. And moving on to reverse designs, we have Reverse 1. This design represents the four types of deception. A soldier covers his mouth while holding a radio transmitter. A soldier with his fingers in his ears represents the use of loudspeakers. The soldier covering his eyes represents the various visual deceptions, and the standing figure represents the other theatrical special effects. Reverse 2 depicts an army helmet superimposed over a mask with a partial view of a man's head beneath, representing the deception of the eyes and ears, as well as special effects represented by the empty helmet and mask. Reverse 3 depicts a speaker used by the Ghost Army to broadcast sounds intended to deceive the enemy about Allied movements at night. At the top, a man's fist, representing the fist style used by radio transmitters, morphs into a string of Morse code spelling deception. The code then morphs into a thread through a needle being used to sew a 79th Infantry patch atop a 23rd Headquarters Special Troops patch. Reverse 4 depicts a soldier painting numbers on a vehicle's bumper, a radio tech timing a telegraph communication, and a soldier positioning a turret on top of an inflatable tank, representing the special effects, audio deception, and visual deception undertaken by the Ghost Army. Reverse 5 and 5A depict the emblems of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd Signal Service Company. I'll stop and if we can focus on Reverse 5 for a moment, if you don't mind, because it is Reverse 5 that is the preferred reverse design of all of the liaisons. There is a recommended edit to the obverse that you saw earlier, which would add Act of Congress 2022 arcing beneath the beneath the Ghost Army inscription at the top. And so therefore in this reverse design, the date 2022 could also be removed. And our chief engraver suggested perhaps placing a star in that location to address the gap that would be created in the design. And I mentioned 5A. Moving on to 6 and 6A, these designs depict the emblems of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd's Signal Service Company. And Reverse 7 depicts the emblem of the 3133rd's Signal Service Company and includes a variety of inscriptions, which you can see there. And Dr. Brown, that concludes the candidate designs. Turn it back to you.
Thank you so much, April. I really appreciate that. Now, turning to our members on the committee, are there any technical or legal questions from the committee about this program or these designs for the Ghost Army Congressional Gold Medal before we begin our general discussion?
Dr. Brown, this is Arthur Bernstein with a question.
Please proceed.
I was curious about a phrase that appeared on several of the designs, illusion against iron. I tried Googling that and couldn't find any explanation of where that phrase came from, and I was hoping someone could tell me more about that.
So I'm imagining that we'll have to ask our liaison, Mr. Beyer. Would you like to respond to that? Obviously, Megan, you're more than welcome as well.
I'll respond. It came from Roy Eichhorn, who's here on the call. As we were casting about, in addition to other considerations for things to say on the medal, and it was a phrase that he had come up with that we all liked. So we said, well, you could try this on some of the medals. It is not a phrase that was used at the time, or as far as I know, Roy, or in any official way. It was a phrase that we came up with that we thought might be worthy of looking at. There were some other phrases we also came up with which were not reflected on design. So that's kind of the origin of it. Roy, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, part of what we were thinking about was something that would tie some of the visuals together with a simple phrase, and that was why illusion, which is what the Ghost Army did, against iron, which was real people shooting real bullets at them. So we tried to keep it short and simple, but still add something in for somebody that might not necessarily get the whole picture of the Ghost Army to start with. So it might draw people in a bit more from that standpoint.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Hearing none, seeing none, let us begin our consideration. I'd like to remind members to please try to keep your comments to 5 minutes or less, and to always identify yourself for the court recorder prior to speaking. We'll be keeping track of time and we'll indicate when the time may be close to being expired. Additionally, if any members have any questions or comments on any of the aspects of the program, please refrain from asking these or discussing it until after you are recognized or at the end of the discussion on this program, when I promise I will ask you again if there are additional comments. For the benefit of the court reporter and those calling in, I ask that you state your name again when you are speaking, before you begin speaking, and to let you know that I will endeavor to make sure to, once we get to the point of the committee that we're going to take a motion, that I will make sure to restate the name of the person making the motion and the person also seconding the motion, so the court reporter can have that adequately in the record. So let us begin with our consideration by calling on Art Bernstein.
Yes, sorry, this is Arthur Bernstein, and I wanted to share with my colleagues a mistake that I made, because I thought it was rather funny, but I made the mistake of looking at the designs before I read anything about the Ghost Army, and I started thinking, gee, those tanks look ridiculous. What could the artist have been thinking? And then I read the description and finally understood what was going on. The designs are all wonderful. I don't have a lot to say. I find myself agreeing completely with the liaisons, and therefore strongly support Obverse 3 and reverse 5 with the small modifications that were mentioned in terms of Act of Congress. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We now turn to Mary Lannan.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Congratulations to all the artists. This must have been a very interesting exercise in sort of transmitting magic to paper, and I think that they did a really good job. I, too, agree with the designs that the liaisons chose, Obverse 3 and Reverse 5. I especially like Reverse 5. I think that's very, very powerful. And once you have it in hand, I think the texture is going to be really interesting, and you're going to want to read every single word that's on that. So congratulations to all the artists, and I hope we can get this out for the people who deserve it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. We turn now to Peter.
This is Peter Van Alphen. I have to say that given my lifelong interest in the Second World War and the history of it, that this was really rather interesting and fun portfolio to be working on. I'm happy to support the liaison's preferences of Obverse 3 and Reverse 5. I do have to say that I, from an artistic standpoint, I really do quite like Obverse 2. I think that that works quite well within, you know, the circular format and certainly conveys, you know, some aspects about the deception. But otherwise, again, just happy to support the liaison selections here with the recommended adjustments. So thank you.
Very good. Now I'll turn to Donald. Has Donald joined us?
I'm here. Of course, you know, it looks like there's a consensus among the constituents to the program, and you know, I always support that when it comes to a congressional gold medal. So I don't have much else to say.
Thank you so much, Donald. Now I'll turn to Dr. Hawkwood Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank all of the liaisons for being here today. This is certainly an educational experience, I think, for all of us. Not having known about the Ghost Army before, it just shows the dedication of citizens to the cause, and I really appreciate this lesson as an educator. I will defer to the members, to the liaisons with respect to Obverse 3 and Reverse 5. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll turn now to Robin Salmon.
This is Robin Salmon. Thank you, Dr. Brown. I also agree that Obverse 3 and Reverse 5 are excellent for this Congressional Gold Medal. Obverse 3 has a very nice composition incorporating all of the aspects of the areas of the Ghost Army, and it's difficult to get that much into one design, but they've done it very well, and it's nicely balanced. Reverse 5 also provides, I think, a very interesting design. The insignia for the two companies are intriguing, and while I know that's historically accurate, it's still gives something special for an artist to work with, and recognizing the areas of operation, I think, is so important in a medal like this. So I am very happy to support Obverse 3 and Reverse 5. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We turn now to Dennis Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Dennis Tucker. And thanks also to Mr. Beyer, Mr. Eichhorn, and Ms. Leach. You have brought us unique insight into this program, and I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. I agree with your choices. I think they're wonderful. I see how they have satisfied the three conditions that you had in your minds as you were looking at designs. And I wanted to mention in particular obverse 3. Something I really like about this design is if you just look at this quickly, it almost appears to be like, quote unquote, any other World War II related congressional gold medal. You have soldiers in action doing various soldierly things. And it's only when you take a closer look that you see, wait a minute, they're actually lifting up a tank. And the man who is sewing a patch, I like the way the thread, of course, from a production standpoint, has to be invisible. There's no way the mint would be able to strike up such a fine detail. But the fact that you cannot see the thread, I think, is an interesting aspect of this design. So I think they're both wonderful, and I applaud you on your decisions, and they have my full agreement. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to our liaisons.
Thank you. I must take this opportunity, it's prerogative of the chair, to in fact share with my members of the committee that I particularly love this program, not only because of the beautiful designs that our artists provided, but it also gave me an opportunity to really think about my brief time in the military. I didn't have the honor that we are hearing among these military persons who served in this Ghost Army, but I can remember the fact that while I was in the Army, I had a number of patches. And actually, I have my, if we were actually having a meeting in person, I would have brought my jacket with me so you can see the patches I have from my time in service. So that made it even more real for me. And quite frankly, it also really touched me to the fact that my training, my MOS, my job in the military was not as a physician. I was in the Signal Corps. So MOS and Morse code was in fact something that we did each and every day. And so to me, it really warmed my heart to see really design number verse 3, to see the guy doing Morse code. And actually in one of the designs, it had me in fact reliving my days when I had to learn what the Morse code meant for every point of the alphabet. And he had to do it and at a rather rhythm, because you can't be doing it slow and communicating it, because that would not work. So I want you to know that this really warms my heart to have the opportunity to actually speak, not only because I love the designs and I concur with the decisions by the liaisons, but in fact allowed me to remember those days, which quite frankly, unlike World War II and Vietnam, we didn't get the same recognition when we returned back. So being able to live it now in this manner makes sense and reminds me of something that one of my members, one of the members of the CCAC said to me that I will never forget, that we want to thank them for their service as it was as important then as it is now. And I think that's important for us to continue to underscore. So having said that, again, I'm leaning in the direction of the liaisons. So are there any other additional comments or motions from members at this time? Hearing none, Mike Costello, do you have anything that you'd like to share with the committee on the designs for this coin?
Good morning, everyone. I just want to let everybody know, I believe the entire portfolio does a great job depicting the importance of the Ghost Army. And you know, the fact that all the designs made it through coinability review, I have no further comment. Great job.
Are there any additional comments or clarification from April, her team, Robin, or any of the liaisons that they'd like to offer?
None from me. Megan, do you have anything?
Nothing else here, thank you.
For our liaisons?
This is Roy, just wanted to make a comment on the reverse. Those two emblems were designed by the soldiers themselves during the war. They don't exist anywhere else, and we never saw the ghost until 1996, when the official history, which is where that appears, was finally declassified. So part of why we wanted those two was that, as I say, they were designed by the soldiers themselves to represent what they could. So they're not official, and frankly, they don't meet what the Army likes in terms of heraldry. However, the current practitioners in special operations of deception love both of those, and they use them for current operations. The other thing is, Dr. Brown mentioned Signal. Part of what we liked, or I like definitely, you have the telegrapher furthest forward. An awful lot of what they did was spoof radio and sending false signal. So their telegraphers were very busy. And again, Dr. Brown, one of the surviving veterans, as an example, had a documented speed of Morse code of 60 words a minute on Morse, which I can't even imagine. So my two comments there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I can't remember what the minimum was when I was in the service, but I must confess that I was so pleased that I finally reached that minimum, because it was no joke in being able to do that quickly.
Dr. Brown.
Yes, please.
This is Harcourt Fuller. May I ask a question of the liaisons, please?
Please proceed.
Thank you. As a historian, I'd like to take the opportunity just to ask if any of the liaisons are planning on writing a book about the Ghost Army, or if there are any historians that that have expressed an interest in that. I think certainly, you know, that would be a book that would be worthy for every American to read. And other people as well. And also whether or not any you know, films are in the works. I love military history, and certainly there are so many scholars and filmmakers out there that I think would have an interest in this. Thank you.
Well, this is Rick Beyer. I'll take that question because I've written that book, co-authored a book called The Ghost Army of World War II with Elizabeth Sales, whose father was in the unit, and sadly Liz passed away last year. And we're actually coming out with a revised edition of that book, which includes the fact that the President and Congress awarded this gold medal, although we will not get the design in because the book's trying to come out about the same time the design is being awarded. I also produced a PBS documentary that aired in 2013 called The Ghost Army. Yeah, I'm very unoriginal in titling. All the things are titled about the same. There is interest in making a Hollywood movie, and we've kind of went through a whole story arc on that, which you can Google and read about. But Ben Affleck had signed on to direct and star in it, and its screenplay was written, etc. And then it, as sometimes happens with Hollywood projects, it stopped. It died. But I always like to say, it's to quote from the movie The Princess Bride, it's mostly dead. It's not all dead, which means mostly dead means it's a little bit alive. So there's still some conversations going on. And since I noted my own book, I want to make sure to mention that there have been other books written about this unit as well. A book by my friend John Gaughan, a book by Phil Girard, a book by Jack Neese, and some. It's also mentioned in some recent books. One of the things that we're very pleased about is that our efforts to have this unit honored, our efforts to get the story out there have resulted in other people starting to pick up the story. And I'll just finish by saying there's also the National World War II Museum did an exhibit, which I consulted on, an exhibit about this unit. And that exhibit is now traveling. It is currently at the Illinois Holocaust Museum. It will move in the spring to the Nevada Museum of Art. I know later it's going to St. Louis, and I'm not sure after that. So the good news here is there's a lot of ongoing stuff out there to tell this story and try to keep it remembered.
Thank you so much.
Dennis?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Dennis Tucker. I think this is a question for Mike Costello.
There, we had some discussion about including Act of Congress 2022 on the obverse. And as Robin mentioned, obverse 3 is a very well-balanced design, and that's a lot of text to be introducing into it. I know we don't need to come up with answers today, but I'm just curious to hear if you have any thoughts on how that redesign might proceed. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. Yeah, I definitely have to review that with Joe. Maybe we can scale something down. I'm not positive. Yes.
Sorry, this is April. I should have noted, Dennis, as we were reading through the candidate designs, that actually our chief engraver has weighed in on this, and he projects arcing it underneath the Ghost Army, so they'll have to just like very slightly tighten up the design, and he's very confident that it will fit very, very nicely there.
Thank you, April.
Yeah, it shouldn't be an issue, Dennis.
Thank you, Mike.
Definitely. Yep.
Are there any additional questions or comments from members of the committee?
Dr. Brown, this is Mary Lannan. I would like to make a motion that we accept obverse 3 and reverse 5, which are the choices of our liaisons, with the appropriate verbiage added as only the Mint can do.
Arthur Bernstein, second.
Outstanding. So Mary is the maker of the motion. Arthur Bernstein, we record you as second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, aye.
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 Are there any opposition to this motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Hearing none, the motion in fact stands and is approved. Outstanding. And we want to thank our liaisons for joining us and giving us such a wealth of information. And I must say enjoyment, especially for the chair, to have an opportunity to discuss a program such as this. But you are certainly welcome to stay with us for the rest of the meeting. But if you must attend to other things, we understand that and appreciate that. Yeah. So we're going to then move.
Dr. Brown, just a quick question before our liaisons depart. I was going to save this question for the few moments that we were scoring, but the question is, why was this kept under wraps for 50 years? Why was there so much secrecy about that?
I don't know that Roy. Before I answer that.
Yeah. It really is quite odd in some ways. What you get into is what's called sources and methods. And as the Ghost Army was winding up in Europe, they were already bouncing up against the Cold War, if you want to look at it that way. They were involved in the forced repatriation of concentration camp survivors into the hands of the Soviets. And at that moment, there were several things that the military was doing that they decided needed to be kept top secret because they might need it sooner rather than later. What is interesting in the case of the Ghost Army is it was classified, top secret. We have copies of stuff going from Eisenhower to Marshall, create this unit, et cetera. Eyes only, limited distribution. Again, these folks were involved in intelligence work as part of what they did. You've got quite a bit going on there. The sonic equipment was state of the art. Each truck had a 40-pound explosive charge under the driver's seat to blow it all up and to keep it from being captured, which didn't make the guys that drove them happy. You'll see some of the technique and also some of the technical work that was done to create the Ghost Army still in operation today. Rick has an outtake in his PBS video CD that is one of the physicists that worked on this talking about the creation of what they had to do for instrumentation, and that's the same instrumentation still used in recording studios today. So quite a bit in all of that. I'll also mention while I'm at it, we support National History Day projects, and we've had several History Day winners at, I believe, the national level, Rick. So that is another part of what we've been doing. We found that some amazing young people who have really gotten into this and really dug into it and have produced some wonderful stuff. And that's also part of what we're into is the educational end of it. Thank you.
Mr. Eichhorn, thank you very much. And Mr. Beyer and Ms. Leach as well. Thank you.
I'd also like to recommend for those who have had not had the opportunity to actually see the PBS documentary, because it actually fills in a number of other questions that you may have had. Hearing nothing further on this, I'd like us to suggest that we move to the next order of business of the committee, and that is to review and the approval of the CCAC minutes and the letters to the Secretary of Treasury from our public meeting on September 27, 2022. Are there any comments on these documents? Hearing no comments or questions, is there a motion to approve the minutes and the letters?
Peter Van Alphen, so moved.
Mary Lannan. Mary Lannan, I will second.
So Peter is making a motion and Mary is seconding. Is there any discussion on this? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 And any oppositions? Not seeing any? Thus, without opposition, the minutes and the letters are approved. We'll now move to consideration of the annual report of the CCSC. Pursuant to Section 5135 of Title 31 of the United States Code, the CCSC is to submit an annual report to the Secretary of Treasury, the House Committee on Financial Services, and the Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs. By statute, this report is due on September 30th of each year, but consistent with the statute and past practice, it was communicated to the Secretary and to Congress earlier this year that additional time was needed to include the September 27, 2022 meeting to the annual report, and that we expect to deliver our report no later than December 19th of 2022. Are there any comments or suggestions with respect to the document?
Dr. Brown, this is Mary Lannan. I would just like to thank all of those at the Mint who put together a really spectacular document. It looks beautiful. Looks very, very professional.
Yeah, this is Peter Van Alphen. I just want to second what Mary said. I think this report looks phenomenal. It's really well done and really enjoyable to read. So thank you, everyone who was involved with it.
So. And I will take it, Mary, that you're making a motion to approve the report.
I am making the motion to approve the annual report, and I bet you I can guess who will second that.
I'm getting from Peter.
I will second that, Peter. I will second that, Peter Van Alphen, yes.
Okay.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any oppositions to the motion? If not, if without seeing any objections. Without objection, the fiscal year 2022 annual report is thus approved. And I agree with the both of you that this was a great job by members of the Mint staff. They did an outstanding job. Okay.
Dr. Brown, this is Jennifer Warren.
Yes,
I just want to do a shout out for Lori McKay. She's one of our graphics people. She's the one that took, you know, a lot of your writing and put it into the format. She's the one who worked on it last year, and she just did a phenomenal job, and I was glad that she could work on it again, and the help of Andrea Sutherland as well in helping me pull that document together. So I just wanted to put that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'd also like to thank all the phenomenal staff of the U.S. Mint.
because clearly without them, we would not be able to do the work that we do and the input that we provide on the CCAC. As we are coming to the last order of business, and before we do that, I'd like to, in fact, say to all those who are participating at this meeting, virtually, particularly committee members, MINT staff, the media, the public, that we wish you a fun and enjoyable holiday weekend, holiday season, I should say, because we will not be before you until 2023, and we want you to have a pleasant, enjoyable, and safe holiday season. I'd like to, again, to thank the CCAC members, the MINT staff, for their attendance today by video conference. The next CCAC public meeting will be a virtual meeting on January 24th. All upcoming meetings will be announced in the Federal Register at least several weeks prior to the public meeting. I will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
Art Bernstein moves that we adjourn.
So moved.
So we will have Robin back in the record as making the motion to adjourn. Can we have a second?
Arthur Bernstein seconds.
We'll have Arthur Bernstein recorded as the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 It appears that based on the visual and the auditory hearing of the chair that the ayes have it. This meeting then stands adjourned. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you,
take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Happy holidays.
In the court reporter, you have my contact in case you have any questions or on anything that you heard or whatever, so just let me know.
Okay, I do have one quick question because I was frantically looking for who was speaking. Who was the last female that spoke? Was that April? Right before we ended?
Oh, that was me.
Like, oh, was that you? Thanking everybody? McKay? Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking. That was you.
Yes.
Okay,
perfect. I did say, this is Jennifer Warren.